Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Expressing your love can look many different ways, and with the right jewelry gift from Blue Nile, it can truly sparkle. Blue Nile's collection of classic diamond jewelry makes for the kind of gift that speaks volumes without saying a single word. Or switch things up with a sapphire piece sure to spark conversation. Either way, Blue Nile's diamond guarantee ensures you get the highest quality at the best price. Express yourself with Blue Nile, the original online jeweler, at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, everyone. This is Neil from Fantasy Football Scout, and you're listening to the Weekly Team News. If you'd like to watch it live, the stream is every Friday at 3 p.m. So if you're interested, just go to YouTube and search for Fantasy Football Scout. Thanks for listening.
Hello, everyone. Now you can hear me. That was my fault. For once. Can't blame Neil. Neil's got a new computer, new haircut. Everything's looking great.
Yes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Team News ahead of Game Week 2. I'm joined by Neil, our Team News expert. How are you, Neil?
Not too bad. Yeah, as you said there, I've got my laptop fixed now because I was cutting out last week. So new charging port installed, new router. Obviously, you get the webcam and the microphone, a recent upgrade as well. So nothing is going to go wrong this afternoon. Absolutely guaranteed.
Well, it's really gone wrong because I've got the wrong screen on the screen. It says printed lineups and it's Game Week 2 Team News. And no one heard me for the intro. So other than that, it's
going, well.
It's going great. Loads to talk about. Loads of team news to discuss. I don't think there's been anything catastrophic, has there?
No.
So
not really.
Yeah. Well, we'll cover all 20 teams as we always do. But yeah, if the too long didn't read thing is that I don't think there's anything major for us to worry about. Let's start with Villa and Everton then. Let's start with the home team as usual. A few people sweating on Leon Bailey. What's the update with him? If he's frozen, you back? Hello?
Are you still there?
Yes.
I am. Are you?
Yeah.
Are you frozen on me there? I don't know what was...
I don't know. I'm not buying that.
Right. Well, hopefully you can hear me. So, Villa, we didn't get much in the way of bona fide team news from Gerrard. Not what I've seen anyway. This is one of the ones I haven't actually seen all the way through. But I don't think we were aware of too many injury concerns. Courtney Howes is out longer term. Bailey was mentioned. He was asked about Bailey in terms of his going condition and form. Of course, a lot of us want him to start this week. We got him in as an early season punt. And Gerrard says he's been looking sharp, including in training this morning. So I did hear some suggestions that he might have had a knock from last weekend, but that doesn't seem to have amounted to anything. And obviously, he was training today. And Gerrard's been tipping him up physically anyway. Said he looks sharp and healthy, in a good place after the disappointments of last season. Now, obviously, that doesn't guarantee him a start tomorrow, but you'd welcome words because he was critical of some other things from last weekend. Very disappointing defeat to Bournemouth. And Bailey was the one midfielder who stayed on the entire 90 minutes. I think Gerrard made five subs. And I think all of them were the other members of that midfield and attack. Yeah. So okay. Bailey was the only one who stayed on. And I'm an owner myself, and I'll be starting him against Everton. You'd think with the temperatures that they are tomorrow, I mean, it's got to be in the 30s for most games. You'll see some game time because I think there'll be a lot of changes, a lot of energy being sapped. So I'm sure he'll be on the pitch at some point, and I'm hoping for a start.
Yep. What about Watkins? Anything, any news? There's some rumours that he's fallen out with Gerrard, right? But anything concrete on that?
Well, I've not seen anything yet. As I say, I'll watch that in its entirety all the way through because there's been so many in that lunchtime rush. Nothing on the transcribed quotes on the Villa website, although they would cherry pick the more positive ones.
Yep.
And I'll look into that, but I doubt Gerrard would be particularly open if there had been a row. Ings stunk the pace out a bit last week, so If there isn't any kind of tiff, then you'd think Watkins stands a good chance of coming back in. But again, I'll consult the local rags, see if there's anything more substantial on that.
Yep. Jenko says this is the best he's ever seen you look on a stream. So that's nice.
Well, that's not much praise, to be honest. Yeah, usually quite ragged by the end of a working Friday. And most of my clothes now are stained in some variety. I haven't shaved in weeks, generally speaking, on a Team News video, thanks to my son. And this job. But thanks very much. I'll take that compliment. Yeah, I've set such a low bar that it's probably minor improvement. But cheers very much.
Yeah, Men's Style says gingers are going to perish into dust in the heat as well.
So, yeah, I said the same thing about Colback yesterday. And then I looked at the Nottingham forecast.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Anyway, we digress. It is Everton next. Lampard, Gerrard, the first battle between them as managers, right?
It is.
Don't think they played last year.
No, they didn't. I thought they had, but because Lampard came in I think, January. But they must have just missed each other. So actually not very much in terms of team news from Lampard, who's normally quite forthcoming. I just think he wasn't asked. And there might be some coming out later in the embargoed section. But we do know that Godfrey and Mina are going to be out, probably long term. Godfrey's definitely out for 3 months with a fractured fibula. Yerry Mina has seen a specialist this week about his ankle ligament issue. So they brought in Connor Cody. In the meantime, obviously two centre-halves down. They've got one back in the form of Cody, and I'm sure he'll be starting this weekend. Rondon's back from suspension as well, and maybe later on we'll hear more on the likes of Davies and Gomez. But pretty short and sweet press conference from Lampard this morning.
So Rondon is the only recognised striker in the
club. Yeah, Calvert-Lewin's of course out as well for I think about 6 weeks.
Wow.
Was asked about Rondon and whether it's a given he will start, given that he's the only bona fide centre-forward, but he said we're still weighing it up. Did mention that some players have had sort of disjointed pre-seasons for one reason or the other, so there's no guarantees that Rondon does actually start. He might go with what he did last week, a sort of a false nine in the shape of Gordon or maybe Dele Alli. Short of genuine goal getters, because even though if Rondon does start and he's a striker, he's not someone who's been particularly prolific in his career, and certainly not in his time at Goodison.
Yep, confident Dino if Rondon starts, not going to lie. Let's move over to Arsenal next. Again, a few sweating over players like Zinchenko. Saliba obviously had a great first game, but there's Ben White knocking around and Tomiyasu. What's the kind of update with some of these players?
Well, he's nearly got a fully fit squad, so that's obviously going to add to the risk, I think, in the medium term. Certainly when there's a game week 4-7 or game week 4-6 when there's 3 in a week and then the Champions League and Europa League kicks in then. So they already had Tierney back last weekend on the bench. Tomiyasu, Smith-Rowe and Vieira all been in training this week, being reintegrated into full team training. And Arteta said some of those will be in the squad tomorrow, so I do think it'll be bench duty for all of the above. But you obviously medium term, there will be some, I think, chopping and changing within that squad as he juggles commitments home and abroad.
Excellent. And how about Leicester? They haven't sold their players yet, so I'm guessing Rodgers is relatively happy.
Yeah, I was wondering where they were, but of course it was yesterday when Rodgers faced the media. Yeah, a lot of questions about Fofana, as you can imagine. Nothing new on the team news front, so just who we knew already was out. So Pereira's out for 6 months. Barnes is still out. He's still complaining of irritation in his knee, so he's out for the foreseeable. No time frame put on him. And Ryan Burton's the other one who's been out for a long time, but nothing new.
Okay, great. Moving over to Brighton next. Great result for them against Manchester United.
Yep.
It's the battle of the team news. It's Brighton versus Newcastle.
It is. Yeah, I think two quietly impressive teams as well. I think Potter's really got them into a good-looking team now, and Howe's really working his magic with some of the there were dross. I mean, some of the players we had. I mean, Joe Linton was a laughing stock, wasn't he? And then even people like Emil Kraft and Fabian Scher were sort of on the way out, I think, in Newcastle, and he's revitalised all those players. So, yeah, I think it'll be a decent game, probably quite low-scoring. Mm. Two decent defences. Brighton team news, nothing new, much like Leicester. So Jakob Moda is the long-term one. And I think that's it. I think that's the only absentee for Brighton. Question about Welbeck from Potter, directed to Potter, and he said he's in a great physical condition.
Yeah, he is.
Looking very good. Newcastle, a few more things to report. So Shelvey, this is quite key if you've got Guimarães, Bruno. Shelvey's going to be out for up to 12 weeks. He's had surgery on his hamstring. And that'll probably put him out until maybe after the World Cup, certainly around about then anyway. And now, of course, the knock-on effect for that is that Bruno goes into that number six role. At least he did last weekend, played against Forest in a deeper role. And Howe was asked about whether he'd add to his options in the transfer market, but he says he's currently happy with what he's got, which suggests that it's either going to be Bruno or Sean Longstaff playing in that Shelvey role, which is the base of the Newcastle midfield. Now, if Bruno's playing there as he did last weekend, then few opportunities to get forward. Not doesn't completely negate him as an FPL asset, but you should be aware that he's going to be shooting less and probably in the penalty box less. And we saw that last weekend. I think Willock, who took his position as the number eight, got in there a lot more.
Yeah,
Bruno was kind of hanging back a bit more. Still had a brilliant game, but one thing to note if you're an FPL owner. Elsewhere, Lascelles is expected to be fine after a thigh injury. He'll not be starting anyway. Same with Lewis and Fernandez back in training, building up match fitness, but not part of the first team shake-up by any stretch. Emil Kraft, who I've just mentioned before, he's Trippier's backup, and he's got a back issue, which is giving him jip. Nothing serious, but he'll be out of this one as well.
Yeah, I think Guimarães owners kind of know what they're getting, right? You know you're going to get a player who's going to play quite deep sometimes, but he's very intelligent and makes good runs and could be on the end of things. The stats are never going to paint him to be like an amazing FPL asset, but if you stick with him, you just got to kind of ride it out and hope that he does start chipping in. But he's probably an avoid for me with Shelvey.
I think so.
Okay, next is the game I'm dreading, Manchester City versus Bournemouth. I go into this as the only FPL manager, I think, without Haaland in my side. Is he a doubt?
Nice try, yeah. No, he's not. They've only got a handful of doubts for this one. Laporte's obviously still out for this. I think we'll be until September. The other two names mentioned are very much peripheral figures. So Calvin Phillips, who's obviously a new arrival. He's having some niggles, according to Pep. And Cole Palmer, who will see more game time this year, I'm sure, because the City's pretty thin squad. But he's got a foot problem. I think he got a knock on his foot and he's... I think he's out of tomorrow. Certainly a big doubt. The rest are perfect, according to Pep. Was talking about Haaland, said it's still early days for him to, you know, there's a particularly sensationalist question from a journalist saying how good is he compared to all the other players you've managed. He's only been with him a month. And Pep said as much. But, you know, talked him up as he generally does with his players. Also from Pep, a bit of confirmation about something that could affect Cancelo. So they've just signed a new left back, Sergio Gomez, from Anderlecht, I believe. Not a name many of us will be completely aware about. He's very young. Played for the Spain under the 21s. But Pep did confirm he's going to be part of the first team squad this season. And there were suggestions that he might actually go up and loan this Gomez figure. But Pep says he's going to be part of that left back pool along with Cancelo. And it was the other lad, Josh Wilson, as brand. So back up for Cancelo at first, but then probably used as relief in League Cup games, maybe the Champions League game, maybe manage minutes when Cancelo's coming off, maybe on the 70th minute mark, but eventually will be part of that full-back rotation.
Surely good news for Walker owners as well.
Yeah, I saw that. I think, was it Mark had mentioned that on Twitter as well? Because I think the feeling was that Gomez might come in and then go out on loan and then they'd recruit a more senior fullback option, perhaps one a bit like Cancelo could play both sides. But devoid of genuine left back, right back competition apart from Cancelo, which was the case. So really, they've only got two seniors and then Gomez himself is a rookie. And I'm sure it'll be a while before he's a regular feature in that rotation mix. So good news for now for Walker, yeah.
Interesting. How about Bournemouth?
Yes, another one who was yesterday. They are still without Rothwell and they're still without Fredericks, who are weeks away. Brooks, of course, is still building up match fitness after that at cancer battle, which thankfully he has won. And I think that is it.
Excellent. Let's move over to Southampton versus Leeds. Next, Southampton really poor, I thought, against Spurs. I know Spurs have obviously a good side and going to be competing, but God, the space they were letting them have in midfield, and we, you know, we've talked about kind of, you know, having to play Gineppo at left back or whatever it was, and Valerie at centre back. It's, there's rumours of unrest already in the camp. It's not looking like going to be a particularly nice season for Southampton, I don't think.
No, we have thought that for a while. I mean, they're a weird, weird team, and they look absolutely abject, and they go on long losing runs, and then all of a sudden, something like they stumble on some kind of winning formula, and then they go on a particularly good run themselves. And that's what's kept them up in the last few seasons, these sort of 10-game stretches where they're in brilliant form. Then either side, they're pretty poor. So, yeah, a good time to play them, you'd think. Still sort of bedding in new players, and they haven't really got many informed strikers. Bar Lianco, who's got a knee problem, and Livramento, who's a long-term absentee. I think they're all fine on the fitness from Southampton. Nathan Teller's about to move away on loan. And we're not sure about Walcott. He hasn't been in training for a while. But nothing major on the team news front. Leeds, I don't think there's anything new in terms of bad news. Some good news, though. They've got Dan James back from suspension. They've also got three previously injured players available as well. So Forshaw, Cooper and Sinisterra, all training and eligible for the weekend, according to the manager. James and Sinisterra look like they're going to be on the bench, if you're worried, as a Harrison owner or an Aronson owner. So I don't think he'll change it from last weekend. And he said as much about Sinisterra, especially lacking in match fitness. Same a bit with James. Which just leaves Firpo, who was a couple of weeks away, Luke Ayling as well, and Stuart Dallas, who's a bit more longer term. So getting players back, Leeds.
Excellent. We're halfway through. If you could just subscribe to the channel if you haven't already and like this video, it'd be much appreciated. You'll notice the graphic has 73,000 subscribers on it. We're now at 78,000. That shows that we've been improving steadily over pre-season. Once that gets to 80,000, I'll change the graphic as well, and then that'd be nice. So help us get to 80,000 subs so I can do that. Right, Wolves are next, and they are playing Fulham. Wolves, what have we got?
Another one that was part of the lunchtime rush. So Jimenez and Moutinho are still out. They have got Semedo and Adama Traore. Remember him? He's back. Yeah, technically available for selection, but Bruno Lage said that they are lacking in match fitness, both of them. Semedo has been on for a long time, I think, to the back end of last season. Traore's missed most of pre-season as well, so bench duty beckons for those two at best. They have got new sign-in as well. What's his face? Is it Guedes?
Yep.
I can't pronounce his name. Bruno was talking about him a bit and saying he can play, as we knew, he can play in a variety of positions. He can play as a striker, as a winger, as a second striker. He played all those positions at Benfica. So a versatile option who may end up playing perhaps through the middle while Jimenez is absent, because last weekend they had a bit of a, sort of a fluidish front four with Hwang. I think Hwang was the nominal striker. I might be wrong, but I think it was Podence and Neto either side. Then Gibbs White kind of playing just off. But Guedes sounds like he's going to be a versatile option and probably a first-teamer eventually, once he's sort of up to speed. Might be bench duty at first, but a big money signing someone we'll probably do a scout report on, I think, in the coming days, because I must admit I'm not overly aware of him, bar some sort of stats and newspaper reports, but another Portuguese midfielder.
Yep. Any news on Gibbs White? Because I hear he's been heavily linked with a move away, but started at the weekend. Starting
Forest
again.
Forest were linked, I think, 40 million or so bandied around, which seemed like a lot. They seem to be focusing on other targets now, Forest, I think. Signed a few more players in the interim. So, I haven't done the pretty lineups yet for Wolves, but I would think he starts again. Wasn't a bad performance last weekend by Wolves. Wasn't great by any stretch, but I think Bruno said he was quite happy with the overall display. Well, one or two things. So
yeah, there were signs. I thought that they
a couple of promising. I think it was Neto probably the liveliest of the four. So that's where the fancy money would be for now, I think.
Yep. How about Fulham?
Expressing your love can look many different ways. And with the right jewelry gift from Blue Nile, it can truly sparkle. Blue Nile's collection of classic diamond jewelry makes for the kind of gift that speaks volumes without saying a single word. Or switch things up with a sapphire piece sure to spark conversation. Either way, Blue Nile's diamond guarantee ensures you get the highest quality at the best price. Express yourself with Blue Nile, the original online jeweler, at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Fulham, I think they were, yeah, they were yesterday as well. Scott Parker and another blow. But they're already out without Harry Wilson, who was a big part of the team last season. One of the wingers they've got. Now they signed another winger, Manus Solomon, is really perhaps to compensate for that. And he's got injured. He's another long-term absentee now with another knee injury. So they're all both, those are both out. Apart from that, looks okay. I think Chalabar's rejoined the squad, so all good otherwise.
Yep, excellent. Brentford and Manchester United next. Coming back from 2-0 down, Brentford, they'll be happy with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wasn't too happy because I've Ward between the posts.
Me too.
But there we go. I'm already regretting that decision.
Same.
yeah. So. Canos, I think AJR and Pinnock, I think are all still out. Pinnock certainly is longer term. I think AJR and Canos are not too far away now. Damsgaard was a big sort of talking point from the press conference. New signing from Sampdoria. And he's not going to start against United, according to Thomas Frank. He's definitely considering bringing him in the squad. That was his quote. So much like Ericsson, I think at first... I think Ericsson was he a sub at first and then started. I think it might be a gradual integration because there's some suggestion of health issues as well. I think, was it arthritis or something with Damsgaard?
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. But Thomas Frank said he sort of passed the medical with flying colours, so maybe not an issue. But yeah, he won't be starting this weekend anyway. And another player we might run a scout report on before he comes into the start 11 because Brentford's got some very good fixtures.
Yep.
From now on.
And De Silva, you know, has got the goal in there and kind of hoping maybe he could get a run in the team, but I guess Damsgaard makes him too much of a gamble now.
Well, I don't know where Damsgaard's going to play because, I mean, he's quite versatile. He could take that Ericsson slot, but he's played quite a lot on the left wing as well, so that's where Juan Wiss has been playing. So we'll see where he ends up. But, yeah, De Silva came off the bench. I think even without Damsgaard, he's still not sure of a start because I think Jensen did all right before Silva replaced him. So what you want from 4.5 midfielders is guaranteed game time, and De Silva probably doesn't quite give you that just yet.
Yep. United, really poor from them. Can't blame really Pogba, can't blame Ronaldo. I thought they were better when Ronaldo came on. Will he start?
Yeah, they were. Yeah. Well, I think Ten Hag was sort of intimating that. Team news is the same, so Martial and Lindelof are still out. And obviously, Martial being out boosts the game time prospects of Ronaldo. So last weekend, they started with, of course, the false nine. And then Ronaldo came on at the break, I think. It was certainly second half. And, as you said there, looks better for it. And Ten Hag was asked about that this morning, said he's had a good training week. He's now had 2.5 games in terms of accumulated game time. Played a bit at the end of pre-season as well. So I think Ten Hag was kind of pointing us towards that direction. And it didn't really work last weekend, not having a bona fide striker. So I would think he comes in for this.
Yep. Cool. Let's go over to Forest next, who are playing West Ham. Both lost at the weekend against good sides, though. You know, difficult. James's part these days, not easy. And, of course, City. Not easy. Let's go to Forest first. So many new signings. I can't even keep track of who they've got. these days. Any news?
No. Well, I know. I mean, there's the fellow arriving from Atlanta, whose name escapes me. But they've also been linked with Czech Kuyatia this morning, another one.
Right.
I think we're well into double figures now. I think possibly 15 signings or something. But they might need them this weekend because they've got another injury. So they're already out Ryan Yates and Steve Cook, were absent last weekend. Scott McKenna, who's another centre-half, is a major doubt after picking up something in training. So they're going to have at least one change to that starting 11. But yeah, fleshing out the squad a lot now. And based on numbers, you would think they've got the best chance of the three now to stay up. I know Fulham and Bournemouth were the more oppressive of the three teams on the opening weekend, but we've heard Parker and Silva complaining about a lack of depth in their respective squads, and Cooper's got the opposite problem now. He's got a real solid core of players and he's now got options in pretty much every position.
Mm. It's Remo Freuler they've signed.
That's him, yeah.
Who is their 14th summer signing.
Yeah, and possibly the biggest one of the lot, yeah.
Yeah, but apparently they've got their set sight on Malinovsky.
Have they?
So Euro players of the game will remember him. He was a widely tipped to be a star. I mean, that didn't really deliver, but hell of a player.
Mark did. I interviewed Mark in the summer, or sent him some questions about a Forest team preview, and he did warn me saying, this squad we have now is going to not even resemble the one that kicks off in game one, and they've pretty much replaced certainly got options, new options in every single position now.
We've never seen that work before, have we?
That's true.
Because I'm thinking of when Villa did it as well. Fulham have done it in the past.
Yeah. That is true. I guess you could argue that Forest's calibre players are slightly a step up from what Fulham did last time. But yeah, you're right. It'll take time for them to gel. Mm. And I think Cooper is trying to strike that balance between momentum from last season, because he had six new signings last weekend, so five regulars from the Championship. And he's obviously trying to strike that balance. But yeah, it did look like they were a team who just hadn't gelled yet last weekend against Newcastle. We were good, but they didn't get a sniff.
Well, Malinovsky, 1 year in his contract left, and obviously just signed his teammate. So you never know. Watch this space. West Ham?
Hello. Lost you there for a second.
I
missed the talk of Malinovsky.
I think it's you. I don't think it's
I think it's me too now. Oh, well. I did see what can go wrong.
West Ham. Sorry, what's that?
Yes, West Ham, yeah. Yeah, I did miss that question. So Moyes, saying that I've got a similar group to last week. He's been very vague again. Dawson's doing quite well. So I don't know what that means. He's going to be assessed. Antonio had a knock, but he's trained today. Ogbonna's obviously coming back from a long-term layoff. Fabianski's the sort of one we're not completely sure about. Moyes confirmed he picked up an injury last weekend, but in the transcribed quotes I've seen from West Ham's website, didn't really offer much beyond that. Again, I'll watch that fully later on, see if there's any better prognosis on that. But all I saw from Moyes was that Fabianski picked up a knock last weekend, and that was it. There was no yes or no, but whether he's going to be available. But I'll check up on that later.
Okay. Chelsea Spurs next. Big game this. You know, in the battle for the top four, this could be a really key battle. Mm. Let's start with Chelsea. There's a certain FPL legend who may well be departing.
Yeah, he's on his way out by the sounds of it. Alonso, he's not going to be considered for this one because he's still trying to force that move away, I think, to Barcelona. That's what the suggestions was. And Tuchel says he's not going to be part of the squad tomorrow.
They've got money to burn, haven't they? So
yeah.
Why not buy another player?
Exactly. he seems like an exactly sort of Barcelona silent as well. Like, they're not really looked too closely into his attributes, other than he's sort of a headline grabbing, goal getting wing back, but lacking in so many other areas of his game, which seems like a bit of a Barcelona signing. Kovacic is out as well, that's down to injury, so he's got a bit of a troublesome knee and he's out of this one. But apart from that, Tuchel says everyone else is available. So we'll see what he does with the team selection this weekend.
Yep. Now, you broke some hearts last week. and then you gave everyone a slither of hope with Ivan Perisic, and then he didn't start, and everyone's hearts were broken once again.
Should have stuck to my guns instead of trying to pay attention to all the Tottenham fans on the forums and that.
Yeah, it was. But then obviously, then Sessegnon scored. So
yeah,
is Sessegnon going to be in the predicted lineup this week? I'm guessing probably.
Well, I would think. Yeah, I mean, Conte after the match said some pretty telling quotes, and it was about keeping faith with the players from last season until the sort of congestion starts, and that's when they'll need the new lads. That's not to say that there won't be a change or two this weekend. He might decide horses for courses with one or two players, but if we're taking Conte at his word from last weekend, and he rewarded the form of 2021-22 with starts last weekend, then will he do the same after a 4-1 win when pretty much everyone excelled against Chelsea? Now, you could argue that Perisic would be a better fit for the Chelsea game because he's got that extra nous, that sort of tactical insight from the wing-back position who could combat that threat down the right. But then again, you can use any kind of logic to make any sort of point that you want about either player. Sessegnon's got the continuity, the momentum, the form. Perisic has got the, you know, world-weary, the sort of, yeah, that knowledge of that position over many, many years. I'll probably be sticking with Sessegnon in the team news lineup. I'm just going off what Conte said, but it's going to be some week-to-week uncertainty.
Yeah,
and it will only get worse. It will only get worse when the Champions League kicks off. And perhaps actually that may be easier because there'll be sort of Wednesday, Saturday turnarounds. If we see one of them starting in Europe, then we might assume that the other one's going to come in on the following weekend. But not someone you're going to be able to rely on for game time or sustained game time anytime soon, by the sounds of it.
Which is what you've always said right from the start.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to have to hop off that train. I was all set to save the transfer, but it just seems to be getting worse and worse with his, like, you know, quotes about that position. So, and then I look at Walker and I think, you know, actually this signing means he probably is a bit more now. So I might, as a spoiler, I might end up making that move from Perisic to Walker this week. But anyway, something about my team. Spurs, any other news from them?
Yes, Skip's still out for a couple of weeks. Richarlison's back from suspension, so he'll be probably eating into the game time of one of the front three. And Clement Lenglet as well, the new centre-half, is going to be missing very likely because of fatigue in his adductor or abductor. We're not quite sure which one it was, but muscle tightness or muscle tiredness, and he's very likely to be out of this one. But I think otherwise, everyone's fine.
Okay, cool. And the final game, which is on Monday, is Liverpool versus Palace. Everyone's heads are being turned off Salah onto Haaland. But you know, there are injuries at Liverpool. There was a really poor performance from them against Fulham. What's Klopp said about team news?
Well, before getting to that, of course, one thing I hadn't really considered. I mean, I'm back in Haaland with the armband. But one thing I hadn't considered would be the cooler temperatures on Monday night in Liverpool. I mean, Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock. I mean, it's going to be 30 something in Manchester and everywhere else. So you think it'll be quite a draining game. Mm. Whereas by the time we get to Monday evening, a bit cooler.
Yeah, but Haaland doesn't need to run. He can just stand in one place, and everyone seems to be feeding him the ball, and Bournemouth are going to be knackered. I'm more worried about it from a temperature point of view.
You know, top athletes. Yeah, exactly. So, team news wise, I think it's as you were with the addition of Thiago, who's now joined the injury list, that now consists of Jota, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Kelleher, Konate, and Jones. Keita's back, Naby Keita, from an illness, and Tsimikas trained today, I think, for the first time, but none of the big names, really, that we care about. Was some quotes about Salah and Darwin from Klopp and Firmino. He described Salah and Darwin as a cool partnership.
Of course he did.
Yeah, two players who were determined to score and be in the decisive areas. He also talked up Diaz as well, and how I mean, he was like a post's width from scoring himself. But then went on to champion Firmino as well. See how very important he is, and how it was the team's fault really for not feeding him in that first half. He was the one who got hooked pretty early.
Not buying that.
Well, of course, you're going to talk up your own players, aren't you? Even the ones that are under fire. So he said he's not going to judge him on one game or two games or whatever. And he's obviously he's got the nod in the last three over Darwin, but gradually he's eaten away at Firmino's chances of a start, I think. And it'd be very hard for Klopp to overlook Darwin after what he's done, not just in the Community Shield and last weekend, but also in that friendly against Leipzig as well, when he came off the bench to Hall. So, Darwin edging ever closer to that start. But he doesn't even need a start. He does so much damage off the bench.
He does indeed. Bernardo in the chat says, you've got to take into account X temperature. I wonder if anyone will actually switch Haaland to Salah based on your temperature analysis.
I've just missed what you said there. Sorry, you dropped out.
I just said Bernardo in the chat says we've got to take into account X temperature. And I wonder if anyone will switch Haaland to Salah based on what you said about the 30 degree heat in a...
I'd never even considered it until someone mentioned it in the FFS chat section, and Klopp was asked about it, saying, oh, the fixture calendar has done you a favour by putting it on Monday night. To which he prickled and said that, well, Palace have got exactly the same advantage of playing in cooler temperatures. But, one of those things that you're not really going to know the impact of it until probably after the game's finished. I mean, they're all super fit athletes. It's August. They've only had one game. They've had a full week. Do the temperatures really affect the game that much? I mean, if it was like 40, maybe, but they all do warm weather training in the summer. They all train in sunnier climes in Spain and elsewhere, Dubai. Maybe we're overthinking that one.
People say we overthink FPL.
we very much do.
Final team then of the week, the final team of the team news is then Palace. There's obviously not a huge investment in their players.
No.
But what can you say about their team? How are they shaping up?
Well, I've got an update for you on Nathan Ferguson, who is set for another spell on the sidelines. He's Vieira would only confirm that he's had a setback, but media reports suggest he's going to be out for, I think, could be 2 months.
Nathan!
I know, so close to getting back as well.
One day.
Poor lad. I mean, I really do feel sorry for him.
So do I.
I mean, I laugh about him every week, but he's it must be pretty taxing him, like, mentally to get that fit again and then to pick up something else.
Absolutely, yeah.
But, not going to be around on Monday night. Neither is MacArthur or Tompkins, but someone who is back and got a chance of being in the squad is Michael Olise, who looked very decent in the back end of last season. Now, he's been out all summer, I think since May or April. So I'm sure it'll be bench duty at first and then building up his minutes, much like Eze was last year with Vieira. So you'll not see him in the starting 11 for a while, probably. But a player to monitor for when Palace's fixture swing, when that's like a long time away, game at 9 or 10 or something like that. But they've got some really good fixtures, I think, after the international break. And they've got some very, very cheap midfielders like Eze and Alicia.
Yep.
Who got potential.
Excellent. Fantastic stuff, Neil, as always. We have had a super chat. We don't normally get these, and we don't normally answer them if we did, but this is a nice, easy one for you. Who's going to be in your predicted lineup for City out of Ake and Stones?
I'm not giving that much thought. I would have thought Ake.
I thought this was going to be an easy one.
Stones hasn't. I don't think Stones has played a minute, even over the summer. Now, eventually, he will have to get those minutes. But Ake is the only sort of true left-sided option at centre-half with Laporte out. And I know it wasn't overly convincing in the Community Shield, but they got the nod last weekend. And I would think Ake and Diaz again. That would be where my money was.
Yep.
But Stones maybe coming back in, I don't know, sort of game three or four, or the Champions League game perhaps. He's got to get minutes eventually.
Do you think that would be the first choice partnership we'd report out? If Stones was fit, do you think he'd be playing over Ake?
Well, I don't know because Pep likes a left foot.
Tricky, isn't it?
He likes a left foot at the left side of centre half. No, he has played with Stones and DS before, but I don't remember it being, I might be wrong, I don't remember it being overly successful because he likes that. Ake or Laporte, he likes them to have that ability to open up and play the ball left to the left, whereas Diaz and Stones are constantly sort of shifting the ball back into their right foot. So barring any sort of catastrophic dip in form, or think Ake is the position to be held, but I'm no Pep.
Yeah, he's much improved, Ake, I think. He's come on a lot. Yeah.
He was very much backup for the first season, but then now he's a lot better than what he used to be.
Yeah. Excellent stuff. Thank you, everyone, so much for watching. Just a final shout. If you have enjoyed this video, do give us a like. Do subscribe to the channel as well as we push for 80,000 subscribers. Neil, thank you so much, as always, all your hard work. Check out Neil's stuff on Fantasy Football Scout. Check out the predicted lineups, which will all be there as well, and all the articles and stuff that everyone's doing. It's all amazing stuff. And we'll be back next week for the team news. Actually, I won't be here next week because I'm going camping.
Oh.
So you will be on with Joe.
Ah, good old Joe.
Good old Joe. Yeah.
Yeah.
excellent stuff. Thanks a lot, Neil. And I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
See you soon.